So today we have the second day of this session. And if I would put the title on the Teisho today, it would be Remembering. So we can start with remembering what we talked about yesterday, about the Buddha seed, how everything grows out of that seed. Call it this seed, that seed, the very seed, the source of everything, birth and death, and life. Not meaning life being something in between birth and death. It's easy to get that kind of image in one's mind. First we are born, and that's something by itself, and then there is life, and then there is death. But of course this is not so. It's all one movement, we can say. Cycle, or a cycle that never stops. Cycle of life. All the weeds and all plants we have forgot or don't know about come from this seed that we cannot see. And what we at least think we see. Everything that we imagine, and also everything that everyone else imagines. This is the seed. And practice about remembering. It is said that one of the hindrances, or the poisons, or dukkha, is to not remember. It's called confusion. When we don't remember how things are, we have forgotten about this seed that is the source of everything. Memory and awareness is one, it goes together completely. And if we choose not to take refuge in the faith mind or heart mind, because or we imagine that we can not take refuge in it, and we say, I'm not going to do this, or we think to ourselves that this is not no point, because how do I know what will come out of it? How can I know that it becomes what I want it to become? I will leave it aside. I won't do this. This would be like leaving the actual living seeds in a bag, in the drawer, and then just dream up or dream about some other perfect flower or plant that could be. If things were the way I wanted them to be. So this is a risk we take. The risk of life is to just take things as they come. And this is of course also the fundamental truth of everything. That we cannot do it in any other way. So if we try not to remember, make our best not to remember, and this is something we can spend a lot of time doing, then we really lose. This is what we do. One summer, some years ago, I was going through some difficult emotional state, personal crisis, we could say, in different ways. And because of this, I decided to, as part of the summer vacation, to go by myself somewhere, take a train, travel alone to some city in Europe to get some perspective and time to reflect. I boarded a train in Stockholm Central Station late at night and that I booked Bert, I think you say, in a sleeping car, one of those simple beds, department or apartment, compartment maybe we say, with those berths, where maybe three people can sleep, three or four sometimes, maybe more even. This was one with three bed possibilities. And I felt quite excited and free and happy, as one can feel when the train is on the platform and about to leave. And even more so happy, that is, when the conductor told me that I would have this department to myself. No one else would come to sleep in the other beds. Then the train took off quite late at night, and I was lying there in that not so comfortable bed, the air being quite hot and stuffy. It was summer, late summer. And I realized I have to open the window to get some fresh air. And you know how those windows can be sometimes. It can be quite hard to get them up, get them open. But then after some struggle, I managed to get it open. Back in my bed, I was lying there, the train twisting and turning, and it was extremely noisy to have the window open. But also I realized it was too hot to leave it closed. Well, what to do? I was lying there and I chose to have the window open, and started to feel more and more miserable, especially as I had before this trip, having had trouble sleeping at night for some week or so. And I had forgotten my earplugs. And I also knew that I was going to this quite simple place, like a youth hostel, so I was thinking, huh, I need to get some earplugs then anyway. So I worried a bit about becoming exhausted and started to regret going away on this trip altogether. Wasn't it just a stupid thing to spend this money to go on this trip? And why going somewhere else? In what way would this solve anything? Thinking to myself, this is what I tell people practicing Zen. Wherever you are, wherever you go, there you are. I would probably feel lonely and depressed. So this is how the mind went. So there I was now, anxiously twisting and turning, both within and without, so to speak. And then in the midst of this, I don't remember how conscious this was, but somehow some kind of intention came, and I remembered. I could say I remembered what to do. Turning my attention inward, we could say, mentally, spiritually, physically even, And then, by doing this, I started to sense the train's movements and sounds in a different way. You know this, da-dum, 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 da-dum. And in the midst of this rhythmical sounding movement, my attention went deeper and deeper, deeper into my own being, we could say, to come to a space where somehow I could both sense and see and hear small trickling stream. And this small trickling stream seemed to be inside a deep mountain. And at that moment I felt what if I try to call it something or describe it in some way with words would call the source of my own being. It wasn't a dream, the kind of dream you have at night. But maybe we could say it was a dream image or vision coming from where, I don't know, to remind me of that what is constantly present and available if I just turn my attention to it. This nameless source that cannot be explained or named or talked about, but yet experienced. So it's one way of experiencing this image, or image that was also a sensing and experiencing. Rumi, as you might know, the famous mystic poet of Islam, who lived during the 13th century, he has a little text. It goes like this. The title being Working with Our Humanness. Starts like this. Someone said, "There is something I have forgotten. There is one thing in the world that should not be forgotten. You may forget everything except that one thing, without there being any cause for concern. But if you remember everything else but forgot that one thing, it would be as if a king sent you to a village on a very special mission. If you went and performed 100 other tasks, but neglected to accomplish the task for which you were sent, that would be as have done, been doing nothing. The human being has come into the world for a specific purpose and aim. If one does not fulfill that purpose, one has done nothing. Talked about cultivating the ground yesterday, and this is, we could say, simple. As we say about practice, simple but not easy. Sasan itself is like that. Keeping to the simplicity, not to complicate it, which is a challenge in itself. Maybe the greatest challenge of them all. We do not need to cultivate the ground for this Buddha seed. We do not need any fancy anything, no tools, or just our own hands. Whatever we can find, whatever is available to us, just in front of us, Same thing with Zazen. We do not need to be someone else or something else. If we are young, we might think, oh, I'm so young and inexperienced. This is too difficult for me. If we are middle-aged, we might think, oh, I'm in this place now in my life when I'm so busy with other things, so it's too difficult for me. And then we get older and maybe get some physical problems. We think, oh, I'm too old now, this is too difficult for me. But we can also turn this around and say that there is no time, no age, no better or worse. So what then? Old things, old cushions and mats work very well. New cushions and mats work very well too. A chair works. Any kind of posture works. It's about the inner mental state of uprightness, alertness and relaxation. And of course we have ways to sit and we have cushions, specific cushions to use to help this. When it boils down to things, it's really anything goes if we're motivated to do it. We do not need any complicated instructions either. This is something we might know from experience, that complicated instructions might just get in the way. We're going to plant a seed. We buy 10 different books on planting seeds. We might just get confused. I did something like this recently when our new cat Zen training being who came a month ago appeared. And this is not something I've done ever before, but I started to Google on cats and how to take care of them. Wow. Whatever you do these days with those things, when you look for something, there are so many things. We should always be careful. And if we take them in, we should be throwing them out quite quickly again. And also trust our own intuition with things. Sometimes I think that people these days don't trust their own intuition anymore, because you can actually look anything up. We know what to do in our Zen practice. Maybe you will protest when I say this and say, I don't know what to do. That's fine too. You can do it anyway. Doing is the thing. And the Zazen itself is the preparation, the planting, the growing, the flowering, the bearing the fruit, and so forth, in one. Isn't that fantastic? Yesterday also I talked about this door. The door that you need to take care of to be able to open it. And it might be hard to see this door at first because of all the stuff that we have collected in front of it. But the more we settle in our Zazen, the clearer it gets. And after a while there's really no doubt whatsoever about the door being there, right in front of our eyes. Open. Just to walk through. That's the most natural thing in the world. This is what we have to trust. This is just not just something we say to comfort people. Say, you can do it, or it's there for you all the time. It's not just to comfort, it's true. The famous Pai Chang Weihai in Japanese, Hakuju Ekai, was this his name meaning the great pearl, who, as many masters we read from and hear about, lived in the Tang period in China. The 7th, 720 he was born. And he said this, this is a little dialogue between him and a student that I often return to. So the students start with asking, from where do we start this practice? Maybe that question could be, so what should I do? How should I do this practice? And then Weihai answers, you must start from the very root. Start here. It's you. The questioner, and what is that? What is that very root? Weihai answers, mind is the root. And the questioner, how can this be known? How can this mind be known? It's like turning back to the first question. How do I start? And then Weihai says, a sutra states, problems springs forth from the mind, and by the mind, problems are overcome. Thus we may know that all good and bad proceed from our minds, and that mind is therefore the root. Thus we may know that all good and bad proceed from our minds, and that mind is therefore the root. If you want to be free, you must first know all about the root. You must penetrate to this truth. Because if you are still seeking something from forms external to yourselves, you will never be free. Another sutra says, for as long as you direct your search to the forms around you, you will not see the truth even after eons upon eons. Whereas by contemplating your inner awareness, you will be Buddha in a single flash. This very moment. There it is. How can it be known? If you are asked, what is the root? Maybe you can answer mind, as mind is the root, as Weihai, but what is behind that? Is the root. To answer what is the mind, the mind is the root, is also just words. So how do you go about this? We prepare and we open a clear space for our seed to grow in our satsang. And we need in this to take care of one thing only. The vado, the question, the koan, the breath, the being, sitting here and now. We don't have to care about any so-called external things. When sitting in this sando, for example, we have a sanctuary, a place, a refuge where the body-mind is giving asylum from strain and complications. We have this place, this asylum, thoughts about this and that, and plans about this and that can just be left alone. This is what a sando, a room like this, is for. It is as if we had some shelves outside the sando where we could put our thoughts and notions and plans. When we leave Sushin, or we leave the sitting in the sando to go back home, we can, if we want, pick it up again. We don't have to worry about not getting it back. We can be quite sure of that. So that's why we can't leave it alone. Sometimes people ask, but if something important comes up in the mind, what if I forget it after Sushin? And I start to worry about that, and then I try to keep it in my mind. If it is important enough, it will be there for you. Don't have ever have to worry about scaring anything away. It always comes back. That is needed. Or also when it's not needed, of course. And we don't need to perform many complicated tasks in Sushin, usually, or in sitting in our Sazen, for that matter, and this is what we do in Sushin. And of course, the real sanctuary is not a room or anything like that, but the mind of Zazen itself, the heart-mind. This mind belonging to no one, and therefore available to everyone all the time. So when we cultivate, instead of trying to get rid of what we might see as weeds, we only need to focus on cultivating. Because when the seed sprouts and grows, it will get its nourishment in the midst of these weeds, even because of them. Even because of these weeds. And we know this, that weeds has a lot of nourishment. We can even eat them and get nourishment. And one way to do this, to just let the weeds be, is not to focus on what we imagine being not right. We never need to do that. We can even make that our practice, never to focus on something negative. Can we do that? Can we really do that? We can really try. It could be a daily practice. Whenever something critical or negative or something we consider a problem comes up in the mind, can we turn it around? Either let it be or turn it around. Can look at it. Is it worth looking at or thinking about? Is it something with this problem or not right thing that we need to attend to? If so, can we turn it around? See the other side. It's like picking the weeds and using them for food. Nourishments for other plants. We're just letting them be there. Only when these so-called weeds are not seen as problems anymore, they will not steal nourishment, but give it. We always have this choice, not to focus on dislikes or likes, but focus on what we have set our mind to do here our task. Like when the king sent that person to the village in Rumi's text. We know our task. And when we talk about this planting again, in reality, in the winter, if we work in the garden, naturally, we won't do what we did or will do in the spring. And this is so natural to us. Who would go out and plant seeds now? Try to dig a hole in the snow and get through the hard soil that has frozen. We won't do that. This is as obvious to us as the belief we have in the seed in this little bag becoming a flower. Garden work at this time, this season, means shoveling snow, sanding, and so forth. Anything else is impossible. We can't weed or plant or cut the grass or do anything like that. This is completely obvious. This we know, this we trust. When it comes to our own mental activities, this is not so obvious to us. Our inner notions and feelings and thoughts. Then we start with trying to do something else. We sit in Sushin and we think about something else, for example. This is the season of sitting Sasan at Sangordan, but still we move to some other place and try to do something else with our minds. This is like trying to do spring work even though it's winter. Sometimes we think about what we would do if, let's say, if we use this analogy of spring and winter, if it was spring. You can spend lots of time thinking about that. Meaning if things were different. Of course, things cannot be different. They are what they are. But we can make things different in one way. We can make our mind clear and focused. We can care about that. To do the work of this season is to move one's attention to our present practice and keep it there. And keeping it there is to attend to it and care for it. This is the way. This is what we have to trust. This is our only refuge. And we have to trust it fully with our heart. Remembering that cultivation and fulfillment are one and the same. And whatever we believe about our current state of practice, we do it. We do it. We do it in our own way. There is no difference whatsoever between cultivation and fulfillment. Between planting, preparation, cultivation, and fulfillment. It's all here. And it doesn't matter what season it is. It's all here. We do trust the seed to become a plant. We also trust that after this white and frozen state, nature will again become green and lush. The light will come back, even though it's quite dark now. It gets dark early in the afternoon, stays dark late into the morning. The that we know and we trust that this will change. And if we think a little bit deeper on this or reflect, we also know that winter and darkness is not just lack of something better, lack of spring, lack of summer. The winter is complete and the darkness is complete in itself, lacking nothing, part of the whole, as, so to say, important as any other season. In our culture and time, we have so many choices, so maybe sometimes we forget, or at least some people do, that you can just stay with what is when it comes to seasons or whatever. You can go to a warm climate in the winter. Some people say, oh, I leave in October and go to Thailand or Spain and then I stay there until spring. Or you can buy any kind of exotic fruit, even in the winter in Sweden. This is something we have now got accustomed to. And of course, if we can do it, we do it. We should also remember that not having exotic fruits or not going to Thailand in the winter, not that many people here do that, but both are okay, of course. But also sometimes not having the choice will actually make us this limited choice, we could say, frame, will also make things stronger, our experience stronger, more fulfilling. We have to use our own creativity to be where we are, not trying something else, looking for something different. So how do we practice in the beginning? Single-minded attention. How do we practice after that? Single-minded attention. And then, how do we practice in the end? Single-minded attention. That's it. Whatever season. And this is the end of Teishu today, and we will now do 3 prostrations.